Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the Terror Jam Radio Network.
In your face.
Boyer Online. 24-7. 24-7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
B-O-C-R. The voice of the Canadian Rockets. Tonight's host, the purveyor of political pontifications.
Welcome to VOCR, Spy Gazette Live. Riding shotgun tonight is, of course, Hugh Mack. We'll be talking to Hugh in just a few moments. And tonight, we continue to scan the news, make comments, discuss. And if you, our listener, are so inclined, we shall take your call for debate, discussion, or dispute.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
We'll give you 1 minute to settle in, and then we'll be back with tonight's session and, of course, Hugh Mack.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece. We are VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets, on blogtalkradio.com.
Do you think that you were targeted based upon your political beliefs, your religious beliefs, or just because you chose to apply?
Our beliefs, our views.
Of all the objectives we seek, first and foremost, is the establishment of lasting world peace. We know only too well that war comes not when the forces of freedom are strong. It is when they are weak that tyrants are tempted.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification, Colin Knight, and co-host Hugh Mack.
And good evening, everyone. Glad you could take the time to participate tonight. Your input does help create our map forward as we move into the political and social circles of the world. It is Tuesday, June the 24th, 2014. Currently 18 degrees Celsius in the city of Calgary. That's about 65 degrees Fahrenheit or so for our non-metric friends. In Calgary, we are 10 days away from the Calgary Stampede, the greatest outdoor show on earth. Now, each year, this clean, shiny, oil capital of North America, the metropolis of Calgary, Superman's favorite movie location, by the way, well, it converts businesses and personalities back to the wild, wild west for a crazy, crazy 10 days. What happens in Calgary stays in Calgary. If you haven't had the opportunity to experience the Calgary Stampede, we do invite you to put that on your bucket list of things to do. Special shout-outs tonight, of course, to my co-host, Hugh, who is actually away on business tonight. We're looking forward to chatting with him when he gets back. Good on you, Hugh. We'll catch up to you within the next few days, I'm sure. And to the Scottish lass, pleased that you're moving forward, girl. You know what they say, to the victor go the rewards. Actually, it's to the go the spoils, but sounds better, rewards. The BC Dreamcatcher, it sounds like it's a road trip time. It's soon the Calgary Stampede, after all. And, of course, last but not least, the Southeast Brickies Much Better Half, thank you for, well, you know. I hope you're very, very proud, because you most certainly should be.
You got email, Governor.
And grabbing a few emails from the mailbag. Tammy in Edmonton emailed the show. Question is, do you honestly think a figurehead change will do anything for the provincial Conservatives? And, oh, yeah, Ontario is finished under Wynne. Wow. Okay, Tammy in Edmonton. Well, in short, we'll Will a figurehead change in the Conservative Party change anything? Probably not. It's been clear for some time, Tammy, that the provincial PCs and the Wild Rose Party seriously need to heal and come back together. I think the provincial PCs need to shift to a leaner, a more environmentally friendly platform. And I think the Wild Rose should go to a more dynamic, positive force for future development and sustainability. Now, we will focus and discuss this more after McIver or Prentice are elected. Maybe you'd call into the show, Tammy, and share your thoughts at that time. So thank you. Thank you for your email. Phil in Austin, Texas, asked a Twitter question, actually. And the question was, what is your take on the Mexican border issue, and how can it be resolved? Wow. Well, that's a tough one, Phil. Firstly, the federal government have put in place direct laws regarding the crossing of borders, and they've tweaked them as needed over the last 160 or so years. So first of all, I believe that the laws of the land must be enforced, regardless of what land that is. If it is a law, it is to be enforced. And if it's a bad law, then it's up to the citizenship to have the laws changed. But the laws on the books as they stand should be enforced, because otherwise it becomes lawlessness. And that'll be much like the illegals are claiming to be fleeing from. Now, personally, I like what Governor Foot in Mouth Perry is saying, in between putting his foot in his mouth, of course. I like what he is saying regarding the toughness of Texas. So, Phil, enforce the laws is definitely step one. And yes, it may require Perry and others to invoke the National Guard usage. But the border must be secured. I am sure if we were to be able to monitor every single person coming across the Mexican border illegally into the United States, then our Homeland Security would be pulling its hair out with the amount of undesirables that now propagate throughout North America. So thanks, Phil. I'm sure we'll be discussing much more of that. And if you have anything else to say, by all means, give a call into the station. You know, when we are live, everything is live, including the phone lines. So we do invite you to call. Taylor from Cornwall, England, emailed us. I don't know if Taylor is a male or a female. There was no gender identity on the email. So Taylor from Cornwall, England, emailed and said, I have listened to VOCR and Night Talk for years, and thank you for the information you bring to light. Well, you're welcome. Your shows are linked to my website, and you are a favorite in our political chat room here in the UK. Would you ever consider doing a live show from our chat room? Regards, Taylor. Well, Taylor, I did check with our tech people. They tell me that it is technically doable, we think. So send me a link, info, and let's see what we can arrange. Now, remember, we have an 8 to a 9 hour time difference, so we'll have to work that in too. But thanks for your email, Taylor. We look forward to chatting, and give my buddies over at UFO UK Net a big pat on the back for a job well done so far. Let's do one more. John from Sydney, Australia. Good day, mate. John wrote, VOCR's interview of Mr. Williams and his book Grey Wolf, The Escape of Hitler was brilliant. Well, thank you. It's easy when you have good quality substance to discuss. And a great guest, of course. John goes on to say, I think you should do more of those exposés. The show is one of my favorite on my list, and my friends love it. More interviews, more information. Keep up the great work. Well, thanks, John. We do appreciate your input. We actively courted Mr. Williams for the information after being tipped off to the book from one of our Facebook contacts, actually. There shall be more of those type of interviews when they're warranted. And I do agree with you 100% about guest speakers. You and I have talked about this continuously. It is much more enjoyable interviewing and discussing. However, with the number of professional guests trolling the internet, many of the better speakers and their info have been saturated onto the internet. And sometimes popularity is not always good for business. And information which is supplied by a guest speaker can get lost in that cacophony of noise on internet radio. We prefer you, the listener, your ideas, your opinions, your questions. We like taking the pulse of the people. To us, that's more valuable than selling someone's wares. And that is why we keep the phone line open all of the time for listeners when we are live, listeners and readers to respond if they so choose. And if they decide to send an email and respond, then, of course, that's to vocr2012@gmail.com. So I tell you what, let's take a quick pause for the calls. And when we come back, we'll have the bunker battened down, and we'll take a look at today's society. What do you think about that, huh? Think that's a good idea? All right, so be it.
This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets, on LotteryRadio.com, in association with Spy Gazette and the TerraJam Radio Network.
But I'm going to ask you some questions, and if you can't answer these questions, then I'll leave you to draw whatever conclusion you want to draw about whether or not the media has provided sufficient oversight. Can you tell me why Chris Stevens was in Benghazi the night that he was killed? Do you know? Does it bother you whether or not you know why Chris Stevens was in Benghazi? Do you know why we were the last flag flying in Benghazi after the British had left and the Red Cross had been bombed? Do you know why requests for additional security were denied? Do you know why an ambassador asking for more security days and weeks before he was murdered and those requests went unheeded? Do you know the answer to why those requests went unheeded? Do you know why no assets were deployed during the siege? And I've heard the explanation, which defies logic, frankly, that we couldn't have gotten there in time, but you know they didn't know when it was going to end. So how can you possibly cite that as an excuse? Do you know whether the president called any of our allies and said, can you help? We have men under attack. Can you answer that? Do any of you know why Susan Rice was picked? The Secretary of State did not go. She says she doesn't like Sunday talk shows. That's the only media venue she does not like, if that's true. Why was Susan Rice on the 5 Sunday talk shows? Do you know the of this mythology that it was spawned as a spontaneous reaction to a video? Do you know where that started? Do you know how we got from no evidence of that to that being the official position of the administration? In conclusion, Congress is supposed to provide oversight. The voters are supposed to provide oversight. And you are supposed to provide oversight. That's why you have special liberties, and that's why you have special protections. I am not surprised that the President of the United States called this a phony scam. I'm not surprised that Secretary Clinton asked, what difference does it make? I'm not even surprised that Jay Carney said Benghazi happened a long time ago. I'm just surprised at how many people bought it.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And over the last year or so, every so often we get these pieces of information on news stories which tickled funny bone or sometimes hit a nerve. When the subject of environmentalists and protests crop up, and of course Alberta oil pipelines, then agent provocateurs come out of the woodwork in ragged attack formations, bombarding my email with propaganda and hitting our Facebook with anti-oil stories. And even though we've offered airtime to any of them that have a cohesive statement who wish to legitimately discuss their objections, but yet to date, none have accepted. Now, I must admit I have been pretty rough on the professional protesters, especially the professional anti-oil protesters. I get furious when I watch a supposed anti-oil protester park their Ford 350 gas guzzler or their oil-burning Fiesta to protest oil. I scoff when watching professional protesters commercially or privately flying from country to country, state to state, province to province, to whip up the masses while creating massive carbon footprints. I get angry when stories of other nations pouring money into anti-oil activists to prevent the growth of Canada. Many of them, like the Tide Foundation, having dubious records themselves. I get angry when the bill to clean up a local protest in 2012 in this city was tagged at $100,000, money the taxpayer had to pay for. Now, maybe Canadian professional protesters could take a leaf out of a Greenpeace executive's actions after being outed for his carbon footprint. You see, Greenpeace executive to commute by train instead of plane. Sorry, from The Guardian this morning. The move follows Guardian revelations that Pascal Hunting's flights from home in Luxembourg to offices in Amsterdam. Greenpeace. Now, Greenpeace has said its international program director will no longer commute to work by plane. And Mike Townsley, head of the communication at Greenpeace International, has said that Pascal Hussing would no longer travel 250 miles from Luxembourg to Amsterdam by plane several times a month, would be taking the train instead. In a statement, Hussing said, "To be frank, I'm embarrassed. I was a misjudgment. There's no doubt about it. It was meant to be a temporary arrangement, so I could do the job and be with my family because my kids are so young. But that's not good enough. The job ended up lasting longer than I expected it would, but I should have been taking the train from day one." Tisk, tisk, Greenpeace. Practice what you preach. Canadian professional protesters and activists could do well to follow Mr. Hustings' lead. If you talk it, you better walk it, because somebody's watching you. If it isn't Sun News Network, then it's going to be some independent that is covering your local protests. And let's not make any mistakes if you want to have a good turn. A few weeks ago, we discussed the terrorist issues from around the world, and one resounding question remains unanswered. Well, partially. The question was, if these terrorists who have hijacked religion as a vehicle for hate and destruction and if this terrorist organization does not have the blessing of the majority of that faith, why do they not speak up against them? Well, I'm very, very pleased to tell you that people in Calgary are very active, and I'm very proud of them. Some brave souls in Calgary did just that on Saturday. The Husseini Association of Calgary organized a protest of about 200 people with signs opposing the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and ISIS. And on Sunday, a rally was organized by the local Iraqi community groups rather than the Husseini Association of Calgary. And for many, it marked an opportunity to draw attention to a growing risk. A statement was made, one day the terrorists will come to Calgary. And this was made by Fatima Al-Barali. And she says, we need to stand together, and we do need to stand together across the world. Over the past several months, news has uncovered details about young Calgary men moving overseas to fight as jihadists for ISIS. Now, this news came as a shock for many in the community. but others said they were aware of radical preaching in the city and are determined to combat their ideologies. The statement was, they are brainwashing your youth and taking their steps towards terrorism, which is against Islam itself, said Raiz Khawaja. Now, he is the president for the Sunni Association of Calgary. And he also said the government should be vigilant about what's happening inside of Canada. Now, the Calgary police say they are also watching radicalization in the city. And, of course, they're not going to say what's being done to tackle any form of religious extremism. So in short, ladies and gentlemen, terrorism takes many shapes and many forms. And each one of us needs to be vigilant. We need to know our neighborhood. We need to be able to identify those things at home, at work, and while shopping that do not either belong in that community, are not normally in the position they're in. A bag, a box, a garbage bag, a duffel bag, something left alone. Be vigilant. Report it to the security that's handling that particular area. Join your neighborhood watch. Report anomalies to your local police department. They need the help. It's a big world out there.
The Voice continues after this. Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com or on air live 347-324-3287. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network.
More than 200 years after a former colony won the right to determine its own destiny, the task of perfecting our union moves forward.
For every person who got a job last month, which was not a lot, three people gave up looking for a job.
Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification.
And more sad news coming out of Nigeria. Islamist militants have abducted some 90 people from villages in the northeastern Nigeria. This is the latest blow to a government that has failed to curb the insurgent attacks, despite assistance from Special Forces U.S. and other foreign powers. Babgana Modu, a member of a vigilante network aimed at protecting civilians from the militant group Boko Haram, said the abductions took place in three villages. And a story coming out of the UK, actually pretty disturbing. The community is shocked after Aberdeen man is linked to ISIS. The identification of a third British man known as Raqib in a recruitment video for an extremist Islamic group has left his former community in shock. Imagine seeing your nephew on a extremist jihadist video. My good God. Talk to your kids. Keep in touch. Know where they're at. Know what they're doing. Know how they feel. More stories, 9 killed as the Ukraine army helicopter was shut down late this afternoon. Now that's despite the ceasefire. Now it is reported that the aircraft was carrying military equipment when shut down near Slavensk. Violence continues despite Ukraine's president's recent ceasefire declaration. Now interestingly enough, Putin has also made some major U-turn after threats of increased Western sanctions. Putin is also calling for an extended ceasefire, which is kind of strange because up until today, they were amassing more troops on the Ukraine border. weaponry was being passed into the destabilizing factions within the Ukraine. But suddenly Putin puts a stop to all of that, or so he claims, and calls for an extension of the ceasefire and resolution by diplomatic means. Pretty impressive, if it's truthful. Or maybe it's just a time factor that Putin needs a few more weeks to put things in place, although he did go in front of his parliament and request that the permission to invade the Ukraine be rescinded. So we'll see. We'll see how Putin plays this one. Remember, he's sly like a fox. Many of the younger generation don't remember, but Vladimir Putin is 100% KGB. 100% KGB.
But resist, we must. We must.
They're all jitty about a shutdown.
The Tortis in the race.
Then co-author of Hubris,
U2
lead singer Bono, Fran Drescher,
Siganoi Weaver, suspect Jahar Sanayev, Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh,
the show Rush Lombard hosts Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor.
Is Mike Muckery
yesterday, Antonine Scalia,
Kim Kardashian, and the Republican candidate
for Cairo and Benghazi.
We rank behind La Vita.
First stop, Kazakhstan
to college students in Beijing.
He's getting lunch at Chick-fil-A
in Iowa.
Bain is appropriate.
The GOP's tax day giveaway to millionaires.
Why was traffic problems email sent?
The Environmental Protection Agency
and what sequestration has done. Poor Al Sharpton. You should never give the man a teleprompter. Either that or send him to teleprompter school that Barack Obama went to in the 2008 elections. Story coming out of the wire tonight that shots are being fired from Mexico to harass Texas law enforcement. And a couple of law enforcement have stated that there has been an attempt to snipe Texas law enforcement officials as they do their border patrols. The southern border is getting out of control. And as we spoke earlier, the logic is enforce the laws that are on the books, whether that's state or federal. And if they have to activate the National Guard, I can't think of a better reason Guard should be activated than to defend the border. Now, there have been rumblings for years that Hillary Clinton's health isn't as rosy as she would like you all to believe. And a new book is giving details about what they claim is to be blame for all of the rumors. Now, claiming that Hillary has a bad heart and blood clots, as well as a fainting disorder and problems with her thyroid, a new provocative work by best-selling author Ed Klein claims Hillary Clinton's health problems are much more severe than she had publicly revealed. Now, to begin with, Hillary apparently fainted while she was working in the seventh floor office at the State Department, not at home, as Raines, her handler, told the media. Apparently, she was treated at the State Department's infirmary and then, at her own insistence, taken to Whitehaven to recover. However, as the story goes, as soon as Bill appeared on the scene and was able to assess Hillary's condition for himself, he ordered that she be immediately flown to New York Presbyterian Hospital in the Fort Washington section of Manhattan. Then, Raines subsequently released a statement confirming that Hillary was being treated at the hospital over the New Year's holiday. It naturally intensified speculation about the seriousness of her medical condition. Now, apparently, while she was at the hospital, doctors diagnosed Hillary with several problems. She had a right transverse venous thrombosis, or a blood clot between her brain and skull. So mark that one down. Transverse venous thrombosis. She had developed a clot in one of the veins that drains blood from the brain to the heart. The doctors explained that blood stagnates when you spend a lot of time on airplanes, and Hillary had clocked countless hours flying around the world. Now, remember, Hillary Clinton is getting close to 70. She's no spring chicken, and it is to be expected for her to have some problems with her health at 70. And voters likewise deserve to know that stuff. And if their potential future president might keel over midterm because of a bad heart and an angry Putin, then the voters should be given that stuff. Makes sense, right? So we'll look for the book. Definitely going to read it. I'd love to interview the guy, so you never know. We'll see how that goes. But I'm sure he'll be interviewed in short order on one of the nationals. I would hope to get a background information on the guy during that time, because I think he has much more to tell us. I really do. I think these types of books need to be read maybe with a grain of salt. But I happen to know author Ed Klein. I read a number of his items, and I must say he's a very succinct writer. He does tend to cut to the chase. So check it out. Look for Ed Klein's book. It's a great one. Now, atheists around North America, I'm sure this one's going to boil your blood a little bit, but atheists suffered major defeat in a ruling regarding the 9/11 museum. Militant atheists have been waging a war against Christians for years. We all know that. Using any kind of outward expression of faith to feign offense and call on the court to encroach on someone's rights of freedom of religion. While cases of atheist groups calling for the removal of, say, the Ten Commandments from state and federal courthouses are plentiful, along with the demands for nativity scenes to be removed from public property, one of the biggest battles for religious expression seems to be focused on the 9/11 Memorial Cross of late. American Atheists, a group that seems bent on annihilating the First Amendment rights of anyone who doesn't share their worldview, apparently filed a lawsuit in 2011 asking for the Ground Zero Cross to be removed because it violated their constitutional rights. Now, this is slightly comical, as the Constitution doesn't guarantee anyone the right not to be offended. Well, they lost their case, kinda. A federal appeals court said this week that an atheist group trying to keep the so-called Ground Zero Cross out of the National September 11 Memorial Museum must better explain how displaying the artifact is offensive and violates members' constitutional rights. Now, many of you may remember that the cross became a sort of a shrine or a place of comfort for first responders, who often prayed there and left messages or flowers. Now, it was moved away from the debris a few weeks later and became a tourist attraction through several years of reconstruction. Now, American Atheists filed the suit in 2011, which was thrown out last year by a federal judge in the Southern District of New York. The same judge has now given the plaintiffs by appeal until July the 14th to file supplemental legal briefs before deciding whether the cause will proceed. Now, among the questions that must be answered in the new filings is how the offensiveness of the cross, which the plaintiffs view as a Christian symbol for all 9/11 victims, becomes a constitutional injury. Taking personal offense is not an injury that warrants invoking the power of the courts to shut down everything you disagree with. And Baxter also said, the Constitution is not a personal tool for censoring everyone's beliefs but your own. The constitutional challenge by atheists to have the cross removed shows the desperation of some to be a totalitarian rule on all. And even though people have freedom of speech, the pen is mightier than the sword. It is important that this information is discussed. It is important that people stand up for what they believe in, whether that's pro or against. It is important that people leave their home every 4 years and vote. And vote for the person that they believe may do the best good in the next 10, 15 years as your grandchildren prepare for adulthood. We must do this. They say, too soon we get old, too late we get smart. I was no different. But there comes a point in time in everyone's life where you have to step up, stand up, brush yourself off, and look square into the sunshine and know that there's better days ahead. But it's not going to happen if you do not make it happen. If you do not take action on behalf of your neighbors, your family, your friends, who are in equal agreement with your thinking, because you've discussed it over the fence or over coffee or maybe over a beer or a barbecue, and you've discussed these issues openly. That's what VOCR is about, bringing you those issues of discussion and giving you points of thought from one person and hoping that there's points of thought from many others. Because that's what will change the direction that we are traveling as this world hurtles at 22,000 miles per hour into the abyss of a universe. Now, as we were going to air, we caught a sniff of a story, which still hasn't been qualified yet. The main networks are chasing all over the place trying to pop this one. And we'll try and pop it first. Unidentified bombers have reportedly launched an airstrike on ISIS positions in the northern Iraqi city of Al-Qaam. Iraqi television has claimed that they are U.S. planes, but the Pentagon has denied responsibility. U.S. planes were identified by Iraqi television, but the Saudi Al Arabia network claims that the raid was carried out by Syria, citing local tribal chiefs. The Turkish Anadolu agency has claimed that 20 people have died, with 25 more injured in the raid, which allegedly targeted some local markets. The radical Sunni Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, or the ISIS, has taken large parts of the north of the country from the Shia government. Now, this has pushed Prime Minister Nouri Maliki to force and swallow his pride and request support from the United States and neighboring Shia states. Syria's President Bashar Assad is Malwari, following a branch of Shia teachings. Now, despite Maliki's plea for airstrikes last week, the White House has made no comment beyond saying that they are an option. It has, however, dispatched 300 military advisors to help with the government. Now, Iraq's small air force has been carrying out attacks on insurgent strongholds over the past week. But they're just that. They're pinpricks in a very big world. And they need much heavier firepower if they are, in fact, going to be able to beat the enemy within. Now, what happens if Jordan is threatened, or Israel? How far will the President of the United States permit ISIS to command?
Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com or on air live 347-324-3287. This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets.
And we'll be right back.
Because every day we are seeing more and more efforts to strip away our Second Amendment rights. And our founders knew that our inherent right to defend life and property and freedom, it had to be enshrined. It was enshrined in America's most perfect blueprint to form a more perfect union. Of course, our Constitution. So it was enshrined. And they knew that if the Second Amendment goes, the rest of the Constitution is not far behind.
I think it's inexcusable that you did not know about this and that you did not read these cables. I would think by anybody's estimation, Libya has to have been one of the hottest of hot spots around the world. Not to know of the request for securities really, I think, cost these people their lives. Their lives could have been saved had someone been more available, had someone been aware of these things, more on top of the job. And the thing is I don't suspect you of bad motives. I don't think you were willfully. I don't suspect your motives of wanting to serve your country. But it was a failure of leadership not to be involved. It was a failure of leadership not to know these things. And so I think it is good that you're accepting responsibility because no one else is.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing. Something's happening in the world. Your vote will decide who answers that call.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Do you not find it curious? Very little information, if any, is trickling out into mainstream media regarding either the border issue, the Benghazi committee, or the IRS fiasco. Mainstream media have made a point of not reporting these issues to mainstream media audience. And therefore, believe it or not, many people out there are going about their business thinking that the government is completely on the up and up and life is grand. Now, there are some in the United States, politicians and otherwise, who are getting pretty darn desperate, rescue what they think is a tattered and shredded constitution. And there are some pretty tough wording coming out of many of these people. And interestingly enough, last week I was on internet chat towards the end of the week in political chat rooms, trying to get a pulse for the people. And I listened to some pretty old-time chatters who I'd heard many, many years ago. And they're radicalized. They're either radicalized conservative or radicalized liberal. And they know the buttons to push and the methods to bully while on the internet to force false and misleading information down the throats of young people who are less suspecting of these agent provocateurs. There are some of these internet chat rooms where all of the people march lockstep to the grand moderator, and he or she controls positive or negative actions within the room. A difficult task when you are trying to be honest. Less difficult when your room has already been exposed as a liberal den of iniquity. And that's the difficulty, is finding somewhere where you have the ability to discuss openly matters without being attacked, crucified, unquote, where your family isn't threatened, your livelihood isn't at risk, and you are permitted a clear, conscious thought, whether it's a right thought or a wrong thought. But to be given the opportunity to place that thought in with the rest of the debate. Because the more we talk of these things, and the more we discuss and debate these items, the more knowledge each of us will gain to be able to make that correct choice when that choice has to be made. And I hope that makes sense to you, because it certainly made sense to me. And as we go to air tonight, a story coming out of Pakistan. Gunmen have opened fire on a passenger plane arriving in Peshawar Airport in Pakistan. The Pakistan International Airlines flight PK-756 has been carrying about 178 passengers from Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. One female passenger was killed, and two crew members apparently were injured. A deadly attack by militants on Karachi Airport this month sparked an army offensive against insurgent positions in North Waziristan region. And I can see that happening again. The irony of it are those insurgents are owned and operated by Pakistan's intelligence, the ISI. They created them, and they supply them in a very strange, corrupt way. Pakistan's Dawn newspaper said security forces had cordoned off the Bacha Khan airport site in Peshawar and had launched a hunt for the gunman. It reported that an injured flight attendant had been taken to hospital, but that one woman had died of her injuries on the way. Police officer Dost Mohammad Khan told Associated Press that five bullets had entered the plane. The jet suffered a very heavy landing, which also injured passengers. So, no longer content with trying to blow planes up, because of the war in Afghanistan and the war in Iraq and the arming of Libyan freedom fighters, who in turn passed their armaments into Syria, who in turn created ISIS, who in turn attacked Iraq, and has now shot some soldiers on the Jordanian border. How long before this world goes up like a bonfire? How long will it be before it hits the fan? Because I have a very horrible feeling that it most certainly is going to hit the fan.
But resist, we must. We must.
They're all jitty about a shutdown. The Tortoise in the Race, then co-author of Hubris, U2 lead singer Bono, Fran Drescher, Sigourney Weaver, suspect Jahar Sanaev, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh, the show Rush Lombard hosts Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Is Mike Muckery yesterday, Antonin Scalia, Kim Kardashian, and the Republican candidates for Cairo and Benghazi. We rank behind La Vita. First stop, Kazakhstan, to college students in Beijing. He's getting lunch at Chipotle in Iowa. Bain is appropriate. The GOP's tax day giveaway to millionaires. Why was traffic problems email sent? The Environmental Protection Agency and what sequestration has done.
And here in Canada, of course, as we come to a close in the show after the 1 hour, I can't believe it's been 55 minutes already, but 54 minutes, the clock doesn't lie, that's for sure. At least I hope it doesn't. As we move back to Canada, as we're closing out, of course, Kathleen Wynne won the Ontario race by landslide, frankly. The votes were on her side, and the Ontario people have spoken, at least those that vote. The anticipated turnout that we have been told, although not confirmed, was less than 17% of the population. But we'll try and confirm that at a later date when we have the official numbers, which I'm sure will take a while to compulate, knowing governments. But the people have spoken, and Ontario is moving forward. And although I have very little confidence in the budget that Wynne is proposing, and very little confidence in some of the plans of attack to get our friends in Ontario back on their feet, I'm not sure it'll work, but we have to go with the will of the people. And let's hope that Wynne and her party and her government know what they're doing. Here in Alberta, we got some good news today. Way back during Premier Lougheed's days, which is the late 60s, early 70s, I believe, they created a fund called the Heritage Fund. And a percentage of minerals payments, you know, oil, shale, gas, that kind of thing, a percentage of that would automatically go into the Heritage Fund and it would be invested. Well, the provincial Conservative government announced today that last year, the Heritage Fund increased its wealth by 16%, 1.6%, and that their funding had done very, very well. And currently, Alberta sits on a heritage fund of $2.4 billion. And that fund is anticipated to increase by at least 14% in the next 3 years. So looking back on Premier Lougheed's decision, which was very controversial at the time, I would say good on you, Peter. You were thinking about your province. You were thinking about your country. You were thinking about your citizens. And that makes me all the much more proud to be an Albertan. And yes, a conservative. So here we are with 4 minutes to go in the show. And any wise words of wisdom that I can pass out there tonight would be this. When you're standing at the cooler at work and people are chatting, find out what they're really thinking. Discuss the important issues of the day, not just idle chat. Find those common area of chat that people would like to discuss and get to know them. We need to communicate, ladies and gentlemen, in one form or another. Now, Spy Gazette issues a daily gazette, usually goes out in the morning. And three or four times a week, it's followed by underground stories and possibly even a boots on the ground. And then once in a while, yours truly throws in an editorial piece, as I did over this last weekend. Communication. When you send me an email and you don't want to be announced as to who you are, but you do want to get your point across, send me the email. Just tell me it's private, and it'll remain private. Tell me it's public, and we'll turn it into an opinion piece for you and make sure the rest of the people that listen to VOCR or read Spy Gazette will get your information, and I'm sure they will have some comments. But we must communicate, ladies and gentlemen. We have to end the embargo of silence and ignorance. We need to make sure that people are aware of the dangers that are out there. Because our society must survive. That's the will that we have deep inside us. The will to survive. Inside you. And inside me, and inside everybody that walks on this planet. There's a better world, and we have a right to that world. But we must strive for that right. We must move forward. And we must move forward intellectually, and not necessarily with brute force. Well, it's time to get out of here. I can't believe we got through that. For everybody that listens tonight, you take care. For those that are listening to us on archive at another time, we're glad you could tune in to archives. We look forward to chatting with you maybe next Tuesday night. Think about making that phone call. Good night.
Got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, and we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio. This has been a TerraCast Network production.